Good morning. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I bring greetings from Gaston, North Carolina. If you're wondering why I don't have a southern accent, I am a transplant from Pennsylvania. For 5 years, I've been pastoring there in Gaston. Just an appreciation of the church and the church family. Sitting here in this auditorium brings me back many years. I was 30 years ago, I was a young boy sitting on the front pew. My father attended Manahath School of Theology, and I got to ride along with the student body as they came to preach and sing here at the church. And then I thought about Pastor McKnight's message last night on the messages and how sometimes we can't remember the details, but how it has changed our lives. And I look at the messages that I've heard here over the years and how much that has impacted me in my life. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully? The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you go back to verse 8, for the devotional this morning, we're looking at the importance of the resurrection. And in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. When I read 2 Timothy, and I was encouraged and challenged by Dan Greenfield to look at the whole epistle, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and the pastoral letters that Paul has wrote. And I'm encouraged by Paul and his testimony and his personal letters to Timothy. But yet, realizing the inspiration of God in writing and giving those words to Paul to challenge Timothy in the faith, but also to challenge the young preachers in the faith. And so when I look at the resurrection of Christ and what Paul's testimony was concerning the resurrection, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he laid it very clearly, his stand as far as the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, And then he was seen of Caiaphas, then of the 12. And then he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, but I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith also vain. Paul made it very clear in his statement here in chapter 15 that the importance of the resurrection to salvation. A quote from the Evangelical Systematic Dictionary: that Jesus Christ died and afterwards rose from the dead is both the central doctrine of Christian theology and the major fact in defense of his teaching. This was true in the earliest church and remains so today. Paul made it very clear where he stood as far as the importance of the resurrection to salvation. And he wanted Timothy in verse 8 to remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, making it very clear. We looked at conviction. Paul had conviction. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to die for that conviction. We look at confusion today. Many men believe that the resurrection is important to salvation. Many preachers believe that it is important to salvation. But yet the critics, those that try to question the message of the resurrection or the literal actual event, some of them believe that something happened that changed the disciples' outlook and changed the disciples' attitude. But did Jesus Christ actually rise from the dead? Did the disciples actually see Jesus? Kierkegaard and Barth held that the resurrection may be accepted by faith, literally, as a literal event, but it cannot be ascertained by any historical investigation. Paul made it very clear. These men have seen Christ. They have seen, and some of them are dead, and yes, some of it has been passed through the scriptures, but they have seen Christ. Peter said, if he wouldn't have believed his own eyes, he had to believe the word of God and what God had proclaimed. It wasn't just a mirage. It wasn't just a thought that changed these men's lives. Paul said, if the resurrection did not happen, I would have nothing to preach. The importance of salvation. Some, it was just a vision that the disciples saw. But to Paul, it was not just a vision. He saw the Son, Jesus Christ. And it changed his life. Was he religious before? Was he dedicated before? Was he zealous before? Yes. But he had never been humbled before until he saw Christ. So in 2 Timothy, he is challenging, and again, as a devotional part of this, he is challenging Timothy, not just the importance of the resurrection as far as salvation, but as far as his endurance. He says there in chapter 2 and verse 1, now therefore, my son, be strong and the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And verse 3, "Now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And verse 10, "Therefore endure all things for the elect's sake," is what his purpose was. The endurance that Paul had in challenging Timothy to endurance came from what he remembered and what he was challenging Timothy to remember, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. The gospel, the salvation plan, Paul believed it. And because of that, because of the suffering that Christ did on the cross and the resurrection and conquering death, he was able to continue. He was able to endure the persecution. He was able to endure the beating. He was able to endure the shipwreck. But it was Christ. And it was Christ that was being glorified. And he's challenging Timothy to endure. He also challenged Timothy to edify. To edify the believer. And challenging him as a young man. And when you look at the resurrection, the encouragement, the hope that comes from knowing that Jesus Christ has conquered death. In chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, in verse 7 through 10, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." The importance of endurance, challenging and then edifying. When we see the encouragement that Paul gave and testimony to Timothy, and then Timothy was able to encourage and edify the church, uplifting them and challenging them in the Word of God. And then doctrine and the importance of doctrine. It was not Paul's personal preference. It wasn't his subjective values, his convictions, what is right or wrong. Many times today we have truth and we have subjective truth, or it's relative. Many young people say, "Well, that's true for you. I'm glad that you have those convictions, but that's not true for me." The Word of God is truth, and that has been very clearly laid out this week. It is not subjective truth, it is truth. But the sad thing is, many preachers have their preferences. And they establish from their preferences a conviction. And from their conviction, a subjective truth. And then they look to the Word of God. And they have it completely backwards. I've heard messages on why a certain ball team should be favored over another. Some may have a preference on who they like in the athletic world. Some may have a preference on what color they like or where they like to eat. Some may even have convictions. And then, sad to say, they go to the Word of God and they preach from that conviction instead of teaching truth, coming to the doctrine. I recently, this summer, was reading through a book by an evangelical writer challenging the pastor to become more dedicated to study. He said there are very few pastors that are pastor theologians. I wasn't looking for the book. I had been in a Christian bookstore. We have a very small one in Roanoke Rapids. And I tend to go in there and just grab pamphlets or different things that I need as far as bulletins. I usually don't breeze through the books a whole lot. Every once in a while I look in the section that they have used books. But it was laying there. And the very statement, "Do we have theological preachers today?" caught my attention. And it was encouraging. It was challenging. As pastors, we found many times a disconnect between the congregation and theologians. Oh, preacher, don't get too technical. Preacher, don't get off on theology too much. That's too much for me. I understand that pastors have many different gifts and many different ways, and some are called to different ministries. But we're all called to preach the truth. We're all called to lay the doctrine that is before us as in the Scriptures. And so I began a study on Sunday mornings, for Sunday morning, doing a systematic theology study and preaching through the doctrines of Christ and who He is. And you say, you tried that on Sunday morning. But the congregation needs to understand the truth. And He has laid it out so clear in the Word of God. And as a pastor, my responsibility of preaching the truth in doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that they profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Again, Paul speaking to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And then in chapter 2 and verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And then in verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul is challenging Timothy to preach doctrine, to preach the truth. Does he give him examples in relationship to the church and to others in the church? Yes. Does he give him encouragement in developing those relationships in the body of believers and working and ministering? Yes. But he keeps referring back to preaching the truth, preaching doctrine. Study, study. The conviction that Paul had, the willingness to endure suffering. The edifying that he gave to Timothy and encouraging him in the word. And then the proclaiming the gospel and bringing the doctrinal truths to importance. Are we preaching truth to our congregation? Are we preaching truth to our congregation? And many times we say, of course, we're reading straight from the Word of God. Do they know sound doctrine? Do they know the doctrine of the resurrection and the importance of that? Paul is challenging Timothy. Remember, remember. Paul Tillich waxed eloquent for 2 hours on why the resurrection was impossible. To a great crowd of people, he kept talking and talking. And finally, after 2 hours of running out of wind, he stopped. And he asked if there was any questions. And an older gentleman, raised his hand. He had an apple, and he began to clean it. And he took a bite out of it. And he said, do you know if this apple is sweet or sour? And Tillich said, how would I know? And he said, how would you know? Psalms 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Prayer requests.